Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me after, you know, we took our own little mini break away from the podcast and the draft and a little calm before the storm, but here with me to get right back into it, because football is always going, is a fellow contributor and all-around good guy, Akshaz Divadula. Akshaz, how are things? Are we ready for this?
You know, Robert, I always feel like it's a little weird talking about football in the off season. Like, I get a little bit of a lull and then I'll just be watching. I was watching the NBA playoffs and I just thought to myself, man, it would be great if the NFL was on right now. So there's always a little yearning for it. So I'm excited that we'll have some stuff to talk about. You know, the content machine for the NFL keeps on churning.
That is a 100% fact. The, of course, latest bit of the content machine, as you called it, which was I think it's a good word there, is the NFL released its schedule. We're a little late on this, but of course, it's not generally our thing to be like breaking news. We weren't going to break the news of the NFL schedule. But that was five days ago as we're recording this. It was last Wednesday that the schedule came out. And the NFL makes a big old ordeal about it. They do a show and release the thing. Of course, it's funny to me because they'd make this big old thing about releasing the schedule, but like 95% of the schedule is usually out in some leaked form by the time they actually get to it. And of course, they're doing all these lead ups to like, oh, here's this exciting game that's definitely happening, and here's this exciting game that's definitely happening, and, you know, announcing week one and announcing the international games and all that jazz. So it's the never ending spectacle of the NFL. And of course, they just have to like, hey, come look at us. Like, I know you're watching basketball, but come watch us literally just show you who's going to play who, when, and where, and not even that. It's just really when, and at what times. It's kind of wild to me that that this league has this ability to like make a show out of something so terribly innocuous as who teams are going to play.
Yeah, I mean, they really have a stranglehold on us, but everyone likes to feed into it just because of how big the games are. It's always, this is like the most interesting part of the year, because the second the Super Bowl ends, everyone's 0-0, and you get through the offseason and now you're starting to think about, oh, new players are going to start playing, they're going to start showing up, and you know, you get excited, you're thinking about how good my team could be. And now you get to really see, like, who are we going to play against? What chances do we have? So I feel like for us as fans of the 49ers, and talk about the 49ers, less of that optimism, more of like, oh, okay. So, you know, we're not really, I don't know if I'd say I'm looking forward and have these like ideas of like exceptional regular season play, because we've kind of seen that. Now it's like, it would be super great if we could fast forward to February and the Niners are in that Super Bowl and we can see how that one goes.
100%. The regular season just serves to be an annoyance that we have to suffer through. And it puts us on edge and as to whether or not they can even, you know, get past that. Because you're right, it's not like, in the NBA or in baseball where the seasons are just so long. The first thing that popped in my head is, could you imagine if they did one of these shows for MLB?
Oh my gosh.
They'd have to start at like 8 a.m. and it would still be going at by dinner time. You'd be like, okay, well, this is cool. Oh man, that team's coming to town again. What do you know? Whereas it just shows you the difference between the two teams. Like MLB drops its schedule like really randomly, just like in the middle of the season. They're just like, okay, well, here it is. Like, you're still worried about this season, but we've got the one for next year. And you're like, cool, thanks for that. That's good. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of intrigue with this one from the 49ers point of view. I guess let's just kind of go through the schedule and just kind of read off the games. Of course, if you've probably seen this, you know, half a dozen times or more if you're a 49ers fan at various points. But there's a lot of interesting things that we can get into, and some things that we like that we think are like, oh, that's really cool. It's nice to see that. And then there are other things that we can talk about that are less cool. But generally speaking, here we go. They are playing in kind of an interesting preseason matchup. They have to travel to Tennessee, which is strange. Like, that's a really long distance to travel for a game that doesn't matter. Then they have a home game against New Orleans, and then two traveling to Las Vegas. That's always exciting. I thought they were done with that, consequently. I guess when the Raiders moved to Vegas, they were like, I guess it's fine now. Remember, like, a bunch of years ago, they were like, we're not playing this game anymore because these people can't control themselves. That's funny. But anyway, that's the preseason. Doesn't really matter. Games that do matter start on Monday. Monday Night Football. Man, I don't know about you, I'm really glad they did away with this week one doubleheader thing, because when I first saw that they were playing on Monday night, I was like, oh crap, they're gonna make them play the 10:30 game, aren't they, because they're playing at home. Thankfully not. Just the regular Monday Night Football spot, 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Central. Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets coming to town. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will last more than five snaps or four snaps this year. I don't know. We'll see. Of course, that means the whole lead up of like his comeback and yada, yada, yada. That will be a big deal. And then, of course, every time he comes to play the 49ers, the thing about how, oh, he grew up a 49ers fan, blah, 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 blah.
Well, so Robert, I have a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that the 49ers had the number one overall pick in the draft and passed on Aaron Rodgers?
What? I don't. It's amazing. How did they even do that? How did they get away with it? Pesky Niners. Anyway, that'll be the other one. That'll come up, even though Rodgers doesn't play for the Packers anymore either. All right, so that's week one. Week two, they travel to Minnesota, which is the first 10 a.m. Pacific time start against the Vikings. That's not so great. Then to Los Angeles the following Sunday to play the Rams. Nothing wrong there. Then the Patriots come to Santa Clara to play at Levi Stadium. And then the Cardinals come to Santa Clara the next week to Levi Stadium. And then the 49ers get to play the first. Yes, I said the first of their two Thursday night games, because player safety is important and short weeks are not horrible. This one, they travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks on Amazon Prime Video. That is Thursday, October the 10th. Then they get a nice, you know, 10-day break, and they really get to prepare for their next team, which is a home game against the Kansas City Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. That will be a 4:25 Fox game of the week, apparently. I think they've been saying that's the expectation that will be like a Tom Brady, like one of his first like marquee matchups that he'll get to be on the mic for. So that'll be interesting. Maybe by then we'll already be like, oh, well, he's not good at this. No good. Then they play Sunday Night Football the following week against the Dallas Cowboys. We remember how that one went last year. Maybe it'll go better. Hopefully not. Week nine is a bye week. Nice little, basically in the middle. There is no middle because there's 17 games anymore, but that's you know, roughly the middle. Then they travel to Tampa Bay on November the 10th to take on the Buccaneers. Then they have Seattle at home the next week. Then they travel to Green Bay on November the 24th. That's the week before Thanksgiving. And then to Buffalo on the first day of December. Then it is, and that's a Sunday night football game as well. The Buffalo game, not the Packers game. Then they play Chicago at home the following Sunday. And then comes Thursday night game number two. The only kind of like small difference here is that they get to play at home. So it's home game on Sunday against the Bears, home game on Thursday against the Rams. Then they get another 10 days, but of course the 10 days ends with them having to travel all the way across the country to Florida again to take on the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel and his speedy little team. That is Sunday afternoon, the 22nd of December. And then they play Monday Night Football again for the second time on December 30th against the Detroit Lions. In a game that, depending on how things are going in the NFC and all that kind of stuff, could be very important at that particular point. And then week 18 is against the Arizona Cardinals. It's one of those TBD, could be Saturday, could be Sunday games. It seems like it would be rather cruel, especially if the game means anything, if they make them play on Saturday after having played on Monday. So I would anticipate that would be on Sunday, that first week of January. But, you know, you never know. And maybe if they decide that the if they get to that point and the game doesn't have any standing, maybe they'll just be like, yeah, just play on Saturday. Who cares? But yeah, that's the slate of games. An interesting one. We all obviously knew who they were playing and where they were going, but this just kind of gives a sense of like when the games are going to be and all that kind of stuff. So I want to talk about this on two levels with the Akshas. First, I want to talk about what things about this schedule that you like, things that stand out to you, and then we can talk about things that are less good. I've already hinted at a couple of directions that we could go with that one, but let's start with the positive, shall we?
Yeah. I think it's a pretty soft opening for the Niners, which will be really good just to like bank a few wins. They get like, if we look at those first six games, I think the toughest one out of those six will probably be some like combination of the Seahawks and Rams. And the Rams are super weird because, like, with the exception of a game that no starters played in, that the Niners basically didn't care about at all.
And almost still won.
And almost still won. The Rams really can't beat the Niners in the regular season. And there's a lot of, like, ownage there that's, like, happening for so long. At this point, I don't even know how it's going to change. So I look at those first six games, and I think, like, anything worse than 5-1 is like, I'd call a disappointment.
Yeah.
4-2 is probably like the lowest I think the Niners can go through that stretch and feel like somewhat comfortable. I think 5-1, 6-0, that's like a really reasonable spot to be. And of course, I'm saying that kind of like casually when that's like a fantastic beginning to a season for any team. Right. Yeah, but that's kind of the way the Niners are right now, right? Like, I think they have the ability to get out of the gates fast and really bank some wins. And, you know, this team has struggled doing that sometimes. They struggled with the banking wins especially. And they always hit a patch of adversity no matter what. So taking advantage of the opening, I think, will be critical for them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, of course, you have to pay attention because there are two or three. They play all of their division. This is kind of interesting because I don't think this has happened in a long time. They play all three of their division opponents in that first 6 weeks, two of them on the road, one on a short week. That's Seattle at the end of that six-game stretch. So there's a big difference between 4-2 and your wins are the Jets, the Vikings, the Patriots, and the Cardinals, and 4-2 and your wins are the Vikings, the Rams, you definitely want to err on the side of beating your division opponents if that's the way it is. But of course, the easiest thing to do is just go 6-0 and just call it a day, and then to head into that Kansas City matchup 6-0, which would be really nice for sure. And I think it's reasonable. I don't think that there's not a game on that first six games that you go, they don't have any chance of winning this. This team is definitely better than them or anything like that. I think obviously the Rams and the and the Seahawks are going to give them trouble. I think that Jets game is probably going to be a little bit more difficult than people might think, simply because of the familiarity aspect and that sort of thing. And the Jets has the Jets team has a is a pretty solid defensive unit and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm right there with you in terms of that. And then you know, other things to like is the bye week not being too early or too late. We talk about that all the time, how important that is to have that bye week somewhere in the middle. And so they're about as close to the middle as they can. And then, and this is going to sound a little bit presumptuous, but having it, it's kind of nice to have a game at the end of the season against the Cardinals that you hope won't be too impactful on the season. And that's a little disrespectful to the Cardinals. I apologize. But when they earn the right to be relevant, then we can have a different conversation. So, but yeah, I think the biggest thing is definitely the schedule has that opening six games. And then there's a couple of pockets there, you know, like if you look at the week 10 and week 11 at Tampa, home to Seattle, like that seems like a good pocket where you could rack up some wins. We don't know what the Bears are going to be, but that week 14, week 15, although there is a Thursday night game, again, the benefit of that being Bears into Rams, the benefit of that home double back-to-back home games in the Thursday night situation helps things out a little bit. I don't know. Those are just a couple of things that drop out that stand out to me. Anything else that you saw there?
Well, so another thing that I think is going to be interesting is just the Niners. Like, something to mention is that the Niners are favored in every single one of their games right now, which is like, so that means nothing. But I think it's interesting only because, like, this is like it's weird. It's interesting to think about, like, the schedule in terms of, like, oh, what's going to be easy, what's going to be hard. But, you know, we were looking last year at the stretch of birds. It was back Seahawks, Eagles, Seahawks, and I think another team after that.
It the Cardinals, was like, I think, was before it or after it or something like that.
And it was like, it was a good stretch of high quality opponents where, you know, after the Niners dropped three straight, both of us were thinking that's going to make or break the season. And the Niners, of course, crushed that stretch, one of the most difficult stretches, and really faltered in one of the easier stretches they had of the season. So all that to say is that, you know, this team is good enough to where they can make us look kind of silly for pointing out places where we think they might struggle versus places they might succeed.
Right.
Another thing I do want to mention that I think is pretty interesting is just that actually the week two preseason game against the Saints, only because that's going to be a week of joint practices as well. So that's going to be a really, really important week. Just something to keep an eye on. We'll probably get a lot of like solidified roster battles and starting spots kind of positioned there.
Well, and the tricky part about that, not to cut you off, is that they don't have the facility at Levi's to handle those joint practices. So they have to travel to, I think UC Irvine is what they've been saying. What I've heard that they have to travel to those to practice and then come back and play the game on Sunday, the 18th of August against the Saints. So that will be a little bit of an awkward kind of situation because they don't have enough fields at Levi's to handle the joint practice situation. So that's not so great.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a little bit of a bummer, but I just think that's something to keep an eye on. And overall, you know, I think what's worth noting with this schedule is that there's a lot of really good teams on the schedule because, of course, the Niners were the best team in football last year, but then won the Super Bowl, so second best team in football. And, like, you kind of see this, like, visual of, like, there's not really a stretch of three games in a row where you go, oh, wow, that's, like, absolutely devastating. The closest you get, I argue, is like Seattle week 6, Kansas City week 7, Dallas week 8. But each of those teams, with the exception of Kansas City, which is like a whole enigma to this team right now, I think there's a lot of like familiarity and like structure there that will be really helpful. And I think that's important because The last thing, I think the one thing that I've noticed the Niners can be susceptible to is like these like ruts, extended ruts that can occur where, you know, one bad game feeds into another and they kind of lose their mojo for a little bit. And the good thing is almost every difficult opponent is met by an opponent that should serve to be an opportunity for the Niners to bounce back if they need to.
Right. I mean, even like from the outset, like if the Jets give them a hard time, the Vikings should be a team they should be able to handle pretty well. If the Rams are tough, they got that string of New England and Arizona the following 2 weeks, both at home. So I think you're right about that for sure. Just a point of reference. So I was looking through, I don't know if you've spent any time looking at Warren Sharp's analysis, the Sharp football analysis stuff. He does a lot of interesting work. It's a lot based on like fantasy and betting and all that kind of stuff. But he's been looking at like strength of schedule and going through a lot of things that like help and hurt teams on the schedule. Overall, the 49ers are kind of in the middle in terms of overall strength of schedule. They're according to his numbers and based on, and he bases this on Vegas win totals and that sort of thing. They're at the 19th easiest or most difficult. They're kind of like right smack dab in the middle of the league. It's interesting. All the NFC West teams are kind of like piled, like Seattle's 15, Arizona's 16, LA's 17, and the 49ers are 18, not 19. But on top of all that, they still are tied with Baltimore and Kansas City with an 11.5 win projection for the season. So all well and all good. But some of his analysis is kind of the stuff that I want to talk about in terms of like the things that are bothering me a little bit here. So he has basically saying the 49ers are being hurt by this schedule in a couple of ways. Obviously, it's a first place schedule. That's all expected. Like you win your division, you're going to play the division winners from other divisions from last season. So that means that you're going to be already playing against, as you noted, against top-notch teams, and you have to play teams like Kansas City, and you play Dallas, and you have to play Buffalo again, and that sort of thing. Actually, the Buffalo thing doesn't have anything to do with that, but you know what I mean. So you're going to end up, you know, playing teams that are good. That's just kind of how these things go. But they're also in kind of a weird situation in a lot of different ways. The biggest of which is related to rest disadvantages. So according to again, this is Warren Sharp and his Sharp football analysis, sharpfootballanalysis.com. The 49ers have a net rest edge of negative 21 days. It's the worst net rest differential in the last decade and the number six largest since 1990. They play an unprecedented 8 games with a rest disadvantage, nearly 50% of their schedule, the most games in a season in NFL history. When looking only at games with negative rest edge, the 49ers have an unbelievable negative 32 days total negative rest edge, the most in the NFL. He says he went back to 1990 and found no team with more than 32 days of a disadvantage in any NFL schedule. And that obviously makes sense because they used to only just play games on Sunday and Monday. So the discrepancy in rest would not have been a lot back before they introduced something crazy like Thursday Night Football. And then on top of that, the 49ers play 7 games against teams who have extra time to rest and prepare for the game. Since 1994, only a total of those teams in those 31 years played at least 7 games in a season where their opponent had extra prep. They also have to play 3 short week road games. And then they're also going to be up against that. And he also says from week 7 on, they play the NFL's 4th most difficult schedule, which also coincides with they're playing 6 of those 11 games from week 7 to 18, where their opponent has extra rest, including Kansas City, Dallas, Seattle, Buffalo coming off their regular bye week, and Chicago coming off a mini bye from playing Thursday Night Football the week before. And of course, week 18, they're playing on Monday and Arizona will have played on Sunday. And so there's going to be a rest discrepancy there. this appears to be 2 years in a row that this has happened. I think that there was some conversation last year about how this was a number that was really high in 2023. It's higher in 2024. the just for some sort of comparison, that's the lowest in the league. Denver is next with negative 17, tied with Indianapolis. Baltimore leads the league with a positive net rest edge of plus 16 days, which is kind of crazy. But anyway, so that's my main thing, which all leads into a lot of other stuff. I don't know if you got all those numbers, but doesn't seem great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It doesn't know. You know, it'll be interesting because, so the one thing that's really concerning is, of course, Andy Reid off a bye is basically unstoppable. Like,
and as we've seen so, twice now, actually three
indeed.
Times.
Indeed. So there's definitely challenges there. I think there's a concern of attrition that's doubly so for a 49ers team that can sometimes really, really, really struggle with injuries. But, you know, as it's hard to, like, tell you right now how impactful it could be, because I think, like, a factor of rest is really, really relevant depending on, like, a specific team, and most importantly, like, how a team is kind of handling, like, its roster and how injuries are going. You know, the Niners were pretty healthy last year, all things considered. But people were definitely banged up. But, you know, a few years ago, it hasn't been the case. It's definitely not great. Obviously, in all things, you want an advantage or at the very least some sort of, like, equity among all teams. But I don't think the Niners I don't think they're a team that should be too affected by this. My right. hope is that, you know, this will become kind of like an anecdote to the season, but I agree. It's definitely something that they don't really have a lot of control over that can have, like, could have a pretty substantial impact on how the game goes, how the season goes.
Well, I mean, and some of it is just like, this is what happens when you're good and people want to watch you play, is that you get put, like, they have 6 primetime games. They have 2 Monday, 2 Sunday, 2 Thursday, which, you know, I hate the 2 Thursday night games. The if there is a silver lining to them, it's that one's at home and the other one is in Seattle. It's not a long trip. They don't have to, you know, change time zones or anything. It's a pretty short flight, that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, that's just what happens. Like, when you're good and you have the marquee players and that sort of thing, you get put on national television. And so it ends up with, hey, you're missing. So a lot of that is just the buildup of, you know, you played on Monday and you're playing again on Sunday, and the team that you played that you're playing on the following Sunday played on the Sunday before because everybody else did, right? That's just kind of, so you start adding those up. You play a Monday night twice. Well, there's 2 days right there. You play on Thursday night twice. Well, there's a couple of days that might work in your favor, but the bye week impacts it. So it is interesting, but I think you're right in that. Hopefully this team they've played so many games over the last 4 or 5 years now. when you add in all the playoff games and all this kind of stuff, I think they've gotten pretty good at sort of handling the rest of figuring out how to make the rest work to their advantage without missing out on what they need to do. And that's going to be a real test of that, of their ability to control those kinds of things as best they can. Obviously the schedule is what the schedule is and they got to play the games that are in front of them. But I think really figuring out how to like section this season off into, you know, quarters as best you can and really thinking about it one, you know, it's cliche, but you really got to focus on the game in front of you and worry about the next one. So any other things that jump out to you that you're like, I don't like that, or this is fine, or whatever?
You know, other than the rest thing, I wouldn't say there's anything that's particularly like eye-opening to me. I don't like early divisional games. I think teams are not really their best selves early in the season. So even though I think the Niners should start 6-0, it's definitely not great that by week 6, you have like half your division games done. Because that could really impact like how the season progresses. Yeah. That's not great. I'm not a huge fan of Chiefs Cowboys back to back. That's a lot of high intensity football going in together. And you know, I'm also not a huge fan of having to fly into Florida basically after you get like extended rest. That kind of mitigates a lot of the value of the rest, but these are kind of small quibbles, you know. I feel like for a lot of teams, it's like, not a lot of teams, but I think there's like a tendency for some teams where this is going to matter a lot. But the reality is the Niners have been one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the best team, for the last like few years, at least the last couple of years.
Yeah.
All these like small things we're mentioning cannot like actually like impact. Like
it shouldn't. Team, yeah, if you want to be good, it can't impact you. That's
exactly. Yeah, like they're at a point right now where having to play Dallas after Kansas City shouldn't be a big deal when they have to play the NFC Championship game after like the divisional round.
Like, right. Yeah.
Where it's kind of this point where, you know, and this kind of goes to what we were talking about to open up the episode. It's like for a lot of people, there's a lot of like intrigue and really exciting information that comes with the schedule release, because it's this idea of like hope and like understanding how can their team kind of like navigate through the schedule. But the Niners are at a point right now where it's like they just need to like get the one seed. Like I don't really care which games they win as long as they're the number one seed at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same message as we were talking about last year. The regular season is all about preparing to have the best shot to win the Super Bowl. And this is like doubly so every year they go without winning one. So not much else to say.
Well put. The only other thing that I would point out is that the week 12 and 13 back-to-back road games in like the coldest parts of the country, at Green Bay and at Buffalo, probably not the time when you want to be traveling to either of those places. I guess there's some respite in the fact that there could be some, like, I mean, late November, early, very, very early December could be okay, right? You're not into like the deep part of December where those places would definitely be like sub-zero temperatures and probably snowy and not ideal. Like there's still an outside chance that the weather could be reasonable at both those positions, but it certainly would have been better to travel to Lambeau and to whatever the name of the stadium in Buffalo is now. I don't know, it's some corporate name, I guess, like do those trips in like September or October for sure. But other than that, I'm just like, okay, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, Do we want to like do a quick like let's like come to a consensus on whether or not we think they're gonna, how many wins they're gonna do, or do you have a thought about that?
Well, Vegas says they're favored, so I think we can only naturally assume they're gonna go 17-0. and then
okay, we're done. Bowl, good, good
time. But,
done.
I don't think
that's gonna happen, probably.
Me neither, but someone has to do it eventually, so
yes.
Why not them? I think 13-4 sounds reasonable to me, which is like a very, very aggressively high number to set, but I see them dropping the game to Kansas City for sure.
Yeah.
I see them potentially. Buffalo's weird for me because the last time the Niners played Buffalo, both these teams were very different. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Buffalo dominated, but I could see that game not going great. I could see one of the Lions Cowboys games not going great. And I could see them dropping something else. So I think 13-4 is like my comfortable mid to like slightly aggressive prediction. I mean, I don't see this team losing more than 7 games. I think 10-7 is an absolute like low mark, barring Brock Purdy, you know, suffering a devastating injury, which won't happen because he's different. He's better than.
That's right. I'm inclined to agree with you definitely about Kansas City. I think this is a get off to a real good start, kind of like 6-0, 5-1 type of thing. The Kansas City game is a little bit of a letdown, but then they come roaring back and take care of Dallas heading into the bye. So, you know, 7-1, 6-2, something in that neighborhood. We'll go 7-1 to start it off. I think the Tampa and Seattle games to follow it up are pretty winnable. So maybe they have 9 wins by the time they get to week 11. I think that week 12, 13 kind of mini gauntlet weather plus pretty good teams in Green Bay and Buffalo is going to be rough. I'm not sure that the Bills are going to be interesting, like you said, this year because their offensive skill players have certainly diminished around Josh Allen. You know, Stephon Diggs is gone and they're banking on younger guys to come in and make some noise, which doesn't mean that they can't. I could definitely see one of those two games. I'd be very surprised if they win both cold weather games on the road in back-to-back weeks. I just feel like that's going to be a lot to ask, especially because as we've seen in the last couple of seasons, they're unlikely to stay anywhere in between. So they're going to fly out to Green Bay, play a 1:25 Pacific game, then fly back home and then fly out to Dallas or out to Buffalo for the Sunday night game. Who knows? Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think 12, 13 wins, something in that neighborhood feels about right though.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, So if any team in the NFL can go 17-0, I think it's the Niners and it's the Chiefs, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Ravens. So I don't put a ton of stock into the Niners being favored in every single game. I think that's just like Vegas being a little cheeky, as it always is, with the Niners, especially like hedging like a lot of action. I mean, Vegas loves the Niners. It's a weird like way that the Lions kind of like estimate that team, but it'll be an interesting season. I think it shapes up to be a really fun one. There'll always be a game every couple of weeks that, you know, for a lot of teams, that's like a season defining game. And of course the Niners are that for a lot of teams as well. They're like a really good litmus test of these guys are the run of the NFC. They're one of the better teams in the NFL. We, you know, this is a chance for, I don't know, like the Bears in this year one of the Caleb Williams era. How do we match up to a team like this? So it'll always be good football when the Niners are playing.
Well, let's hope so. All right. Enough schedule talk. Let's talk about something else. One more thing to kind of wrap things up. So OTAs are beginning this week. I think the players are starting to report today. Obviously rookies have been around for a little while with rookie minicap and all that kind of stuff. OTAs are kind of a weird thing and they're organized, but a lot of it is just strength work and all that kind of stuff. There's very limited things that they're allowed to do right per the CBA. It's not padded practices. It's guys running around in shorts and t-shirts and helmets and, I don't know how much that really, how much information that actually provides us with in terms of whether or not a player is good or not. But it's nice to finally see the rookies out there against the guys who've been there and all that kind of stuff. And it will, of course, start conversations around like what things should we be paying attention to once training camp starts in the summertime. But is there anything in particular as OTAs are getting started that you're interested in, Akshay? Is anything that you're paying attention to specifically, being that we're not going to learn a lot about like football necessarily, but it could be other things. I don't know.
I got three things that I think are worth like keeping an eye on. And like, I don't think anything comes out of them. So this isn't like a wave, like sound the alarm. But number one is, will Brandon Ayuk show up to OTAs? That's the answer is most likely no. I highly doubt. A lot of players won't show up just because they train away from the team anyway. But if Ayuk shows up, I think you can take that as a good sign of like his status with the organization. Even if it doesn't mean that he has a contract already, it means that like negotiations are probably progressing really well. If he doesn't show up, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but that's like a non like activity related thing. The next thing I'm interested in is just how the Niners like set up the depth chart for their cornerbacks, because there's been like from what Nick Sorensen, new defensive coordinator, said, it seems as though Renardo Green, their second round pick, will be in competition for the nickel cornerback spot. And it seems as though that's the position they really want him to play, which is really great. I think he'll be a fantastic player there. But then you get into the question of, all right, where does that leave Demo Lenore? And does Demo go outside? Does he go inside? Is he benched? Are they trying to move off him? So I'd say thinking about how the cornerback depth chart works will be really interesting, because the Niners could essentially be trying to replace one of their starters from like multiple starters from last year as opposed to one. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean four. I just had one pop in my mind.
yeah, you're
I
good.
Think, just taking a look at Ricky Pearsall, it was a bit of an aggressive pick, and you're not going to get anything out of it, but just the types of formations he's in would be very interesting, the personnel groupings, just how he fits. And then finally, it's the offensive lineman for me, most specifically the rookie guards and undrafted rookie center in Dominic Pooney, Jared Kingston, and Drake Nugent, because the Niners brought in some serious athleticism on the interior. And I could see everyone except the starters from last year getting cut on that interior offensive line. I think there's a real chance that like we'll see some competition. I think Pooney's obviously guaranteed a spot on the roster, but I think Kingston is a really interesting case of a player who fits like a particular brand for the 49ers, a type of guard. And if he can really show out, that's very valuable. And Nugent, from what I read in rookie minicamps, which is very, very not indicative of anything, played phenomenal. And he's a guy who also undersized, but can really move. And he could be a big find for the Niners as well. So that's what I'm looking at. I think it's a lot of like a big question, of course, Ayuk's situation. But then beyond that, it's just, how do the Niners kind of, like you said, incorporate the younger players along with the vets and kind of progress heading into training camp?
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, the Ayuk thing is definitely the major thing to watch. I don't know. I think I saw something the other day that reports said that it's not, the things are not moving along, that they're not getting any closer, whatever. I don't know. That's who knows where those things come from. We also know that this team tends to drag these things out longer than they need to for whatever reason. It just seems to be the MO and how these things kind of work. So the other stuff is interesting in that it will be good to see the players on the field, and especially the young guys, and see how those battles could shake out over the course of the training camp. But some of it is just really like, I don't know. There's just tends to be a lot of situations where people will freak out about like, oh, this rookie is climbing the depth chart. And it's like, well, that's because the veterans are not here, like, or they're here and they're not doing anything, or they're not doing the team drills and all that kind of stuff. It's just like we have to temper our expectations, but it's certainly those are going to be names to watch and, you know, situations to watch as we head through OTAs and into training camp and all that kind of stuff. But hopefully these are good problems to have, right? Like, yeah, too many good cornerbacks. You got too many good offensive linemen. Hopefully these are the types of problems that we're concerned about heading into 2024 for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any Akshas, any final thoughts about anything as it relates to the 49ers as we head into OTAs or anything like that?
Honestly, not particularly, which is really, you know, really interesting to say out loud. But I think, you know, the offseason is ruled by the team that won the Super Bowl and the teams that are just making their ascent towards the mountaintop. You know, this is the time for teams that feel like they have a big step to take to, like, for people to get really excited about that and teams to solidify that. But, you know, the Niners are in, like, a very weird position, where an enviable position to be sure, where what they need to change is the ability to hold on to a lead in the second half of the Super Bowl, which is such a small, it's a ginormous step. It's the difference between winning or losing the Super Bowl. But compared to some other teams, this is such a small marginal change that's basically execution of two or three plays down the stretch, that the offseason kind of just feels, it's interesting. And I think, you know, PFF's Trevor Sikkema, I think, ranked the 49ers offseason 31st or very low. And he said, I don't know if the Niners got better. And to respond to that, which is a very fair and real point, I don't know if the Niners got better this offseason. But how much better can a team get? There's no such thing as a perfect roster. And I think it makes the offseason as a 49ers fan kind of weird, because, you know, there's so much excitement about, like, in the draft, all these top QBs and these receivers and talented players who you think can really impact a team, all the big name free agents who get signed, all these, like, battles. But then you look at the 49ers, and I mean, you can probably pencil in 19 to 20 starting spots right now without batting an eye. That's how good this team is. And not a single one of those players is a bad player. That's the amazing part of this team. So the lack of intrigue, I think, in the offseason, and the fact that there's not these huge burning questions and really crazy position battles, it's just a testament to how good this football team is.
Yep.
And, you know, while other fans can have their moments getting super excited about everything going on in the offseason, I think we Niner fans can get excited just thinking about how great this team is and how we get a chance to show it in the regular season.
Yeah, let's hope so. And then all the way to the end, just like you said, perfect 2019, whatever it is, 20-0 these days, and that'll be good. All right. Well, as always, we thank you for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis, and be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.